Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the complexity and pull out the really vital stuff you need to know. Today, we're tackling a pretty intense subject, the genitourinary and renal systems, specifically the emergencies. Our sources, well, it's dense. It covers acute emergencies, the anatomy, what happens when things go wrong systemically.
Yeah, and our mission today isn't about memorizing every single detail. It's about understanding the big picture, the high impact stuff. Because when the kidneys fail, and there are these crucial regulators, the fallout is immediate. It hits your whole body, heart, brain, everything. So we want to give you a kind of fast track to grasping these really high stakes conditions.
Okay, let's start right there then. Before we talk failure,
yeah.
What exactly are the kidneys supposed to be doing? What are those core functions that, if they stop, spell immediate trouble?
Right. Well, they're kind of the unsung heroes, constantly working in the background. They have, let's say, four main jobs. First, filtering blood. Pulling out metabolic waste like urea, you know, cleaning things up. Second, they're like meticulous accountants for your electrolytes, sodium, calcium, and crucially, potassium, keeping those levels just right.
Okay, filtering, electrolytes, what else?
Third, they manage your acid-base balance, making sure your blood pH stays in this very narrow, safe range, super important. And finally, they regulate your fluid volume, and that ties directly into blood pressure control. So you mess with any one of those systems, and things go sideways fast. Systemic illness.
And that's when we start seeing the major problems that our source material focuses on.
Exactly. We're really zoning in on the big four, you could say. Kidney failure, that's the most common, most dangerous. Then you've got nephrolithiasis, kidney stones. Painful, common, urinary tract infections, UTIs. And finally, benign prostate hypertrophy, BPH, that non-cancerous prostate enlargement that causes blockages.
Right. And to really get why these things are emergencies, we probably need a quick look at the setup, the anatomy. Not, you know, every tiny detail, but the key parts. We've got the kidneys themselves, obviously. Then the ureters, those tubes carrying urine down.
To the urinary bladder, which stores it. And then the urethra, the tube leading out. Which, importantly, is shorter in females.
Okay. But inside the kidney itself, that's where the real action happens, right? The cortex, medulla.
Yeah, the outer cortex, the inner medulla. But the functional superstar, the unit doing the work, is the nephron. Millions of these tiny things.
Okay, the nephron. Our source lists all the parts. Glomerulus, tubules, bupivenal. But the key isn't just listing them, it's understanding what they do functionally.
Exactly. Think of it like this. The nephron is a super efficient two-stage filter and reclamation plant. Stage one is the glomerulus. It's essentially a tiny ball of capillaries designed for one thing, bulk filtration, just pushing huge amounts of fluid out of the blood.
Gallons a day, apparently.
Yeah, incredible amounts, but obviously you can't lose all that. So stage two is the tubules, the PCT, loop of Henle, DCT, their job is reclamation. They selectively pull back almost everything your body needs, about 99% of the water, electrolytes, nutrients, what's left over. That's the concentrated waste, the urine, that gets sent out. If that two-stage process breaks down, well, you keep all the bad stuff.
And we have to talk about the plumbing, specifically for men. The anatomy creates this shared pathway, which seems like a built-in vulnerability.
It really is. The male urinary and genital systems share the urethra. It carries both urine and semen. And the critical player here is the prostate gland. It sits right under the bladder and literally wraps around the urethra.
Ah, okay. I see where this is going.
So when that prostate enlarges, which is very common as men age, that's BPH, it squeezes the urethra, like stepping on a hose. That makes it hard to start peeing, hard to empty the bladder completely, which leads to urine backing up, potential infections, even kidney damage over time.
That physical proximity is a major factor then. Okay, let's shift to acute problems, pain, and blockages. The sources really emphasize something here. The pain can be misleading.
Yes, this is so important. Renal and genital pain often mimics other abdominal issues. It's tricky. You know, pain from a kidney stone might feel like appendicitis, or it's just vague cramping. So differentiating is key. You have to ask, okay, is this a straightforward infection? Is a stone stretching the ureter? Or is it BPH causing a blockage?
Let's start with the common culprit for pain, UTIs, urinary tract infections.
Right. Way more common in women, primarily because of that shorter urethra we mentioned. Easier path for bacteria. Usually starts lower down. The classic symptoms are that urge to go constantly, pain when you do, maybe difficulty starting. Patients often seem restless, uncomfortable.
And if it's not treated,
That's the danger. It can climb upwards, from the lower tract to the bladder, that's cystitis, then up to the kidneys themselves, that's pyelonephritis. And pyelonephritis is serious. It's a kidney infection, and it can quickly lead to sepsis if you don't get antibiotics on board.
So basic UTI management is supportive care, comfort, but pyelonephritis, much higher stakes.
Absolutely. Needs aggressive treatment. Now, moving from infection pain to arguably the most intense pain, kidney stones, nephrolithiasis. These typically form up in the renal pelvis. It happens when there's just too much of certain substances in the urine, insoluble salts, uric acid, and they crystallize.
The source mentioned different types. Calcium stones are most common. Then struvite, uric acid. Does the type matter right away?
Not so much for the initial assessment, no, because the pain mechanism is the same, obstruction. That sharp crystal starts moving down the ureter, which is narrow. It stretches it, scrapes it, causing this excruciating, often wave-like pain in the flank, frequently radiating down towards the groin.
And the body's reaction is pretty dramatic, too.
Oh, yeah. The pain is so severe, it often triggers reflex tachycardia, fast heart rate, and spikes the blood pressure. It's a significant stressor. You'll also frequently see hematuria blood in the urine because of the irritation.
Given how bad that pain sounds, managing it seems like the absolute first priority.
It has to be. Rapid analgesia is key. Get an IV started, give fluids, make the patient comfortable, and transport quickly. Most stones do pass on their own eventually. But if they get stuck, treatment might involve things like lithotripsy, using sound waves to break the stone up, or maybe a cystoscopy with a stent to open the ureter.
Okay, let's pivot now to the really big one, kidney failure itself, starting with the sudden onset kind. Acute kidney injury, or AKI?
Right. AKI means a rapid decrease in the kidney's filtering ability, specifically at the glomeruli. Toxins and fluid just build up very quickly. And the mortality rate here, it's serious. The source notes up to 70% in critically ill patients. This is a true emergency.
The source mentions specific terms here, a liguria and anuria. How do those signal the severity?
They're huge red flags, massive. Oliguria means the urine output is drastically low technically, less than 500 milliliters per day. The kidneys are barely functioning. Anuria means they've essentially stopped. Complete cessation of urine, that's catastrophic.
And if AKI isn't reversed quickly, what are the big systemic consequences?
It leads to a cluster of critical problems. One, volume overload, the body can't get rid of fluid. Two, uremia buildup of toxic waste in the blood. Three, metabolic acidosis. The blood becomes too acidic because the kidneys can't manage it. And four, perhaps the most immediately life-threatening, hyperkalemia.
High potassium. And that's the direct link to cardiac problems, right?
Exactly. Potassium levels dictate the electrical stability of your heart muscle cells. Too much potassium hyperkalemia messes up that electrical signaling. You see it on the ECG right away. PR interval gets longer, QT interval gets longer. The heart rhythm can become unstable, leading potentially to fatal arrhythmias like VFib.
Wow. And clinically, what might you see?
Generalized edema, swelling from the fluid overload. Skin might be pale, cool, clammy. Because of the toxins, patients often have altered mental status, confusion, darkening or decreased urine, maybe flank pain too.
That rapid decline is really sobering. What about the slower version? Chronic kidney disease leading to end-stage renal disease, ESRD.
CKD is different. It's a gradual, progressive loss of nephrons. Those filtering units, usually over months or years. Scarring, permanent damage. This means the body is constantly dealing with a low level of kidney dysfunction, leading to chronic uremia and azotemia. That's the buildup of nitrogen waste products.
And the symptoms are maybe less sudden, but still severe.
Yeah, these patients often present with things like persistent fatigue, lethargy, nausea, chronic high blood pressure. Because the fluid isn't managed well, they can develop inflammation around the heart, pericarditis or fluid in the lungs, pulmonary edema.
And if CKD progresses or if AKI isn't treated and becomes permanent, that's ESRD, end-stage renal disease.
That's the end of the line for kidney function. They've lost all ability to filter and regulate.
Yeah.
The source is blunt. It's fatal without treatment. Treatment means either dialysis or a kidney transplant.
And the late-stage symptoms of ESRD sound pretty grim.
They really are. It shows how toxic the body becomes. You might actually see uremic frost waste products crystallizing on the skin, plus muscle twitching, severe clotting problems, chest pain, profound confusion, seizures, even coma. It affects every system.
Which brings us to dialysis. It's pretty amazing technology, essentially an artificial kidney.
It is. Dialysis aims to do what the kidneys can't: filter out waste, remove excess fluid, and try to restore that electrolyte balance. two main types you hear about: peritoneal dialysis, which uses the lining of the abdomen, the peritoneum, as the filter, usually done at home, and hemodialysis, where the patient's blood is filtered through an external machine, typically at a clinic several times a week.
Life-saving, definitely, but not without its own set of risks, as the source points out.
Absolutely. Major fluid schist during hemodialysis can cause sudden drops in blood pressure, even shock. Potassium imbalances remain a constant concern. There's also something called disequilibrium syndrome, neurological symptoms caused by rapid changes in blood chemistry impacting the brain.
Mm.
And though rare, air embolism is a potential complication if air gets into the dialysis lines.
Okay, let's make a distinct shift now. We need to cover male genital emergencies more thoroughly. These aren't just painful. Some are time-critical surgical emergencies.
Yes, absolutely. Top of the list has to be testicular torsion. This is where the testicle twists on its spermatic cord. That twisting cuts off the blood supply immediately. If that blood flow isn't restored surgically very quickly, we're talking within hours, maybe 4 to 6, the testicle can die and will need to be removed.
So sudden, severe testicular pain, think torsion first, get moving fast.
Immediately. Then there are mechanical issues with the foreskin. Paraphimosis is one.
What's that?
That's when the foreskin gets pulled back behind the head of the penis, the glands, and then gets stuck there. It swells up and acts like a tight band. It cuts off circulation, basically strangulating the glands. This is a true emergency because it can cause tissue death, necrosis, very quickly, if not reduced.
Another urgent one. And priapism.
Priapism is a persistent, painful erection that isn't related to sexual stimulation. Management needs discretion and respect, pain relief, but you also need to consider the cause. Critically, if there's any chance of a spinal cord injury, you must immobilize properly, as neurological damage can sometimes trigger it.
We already touched on BPH, benign prostate hypertrophy. Not acutely life-threatening like torsion, but definitely an urgent issue causing blockage.
Yeah, it's the most common reason older men have trouble urinating. That enlarged prostate squeezes the urethra, leading to incomplete emptying, retention, risk of infection, and potentially kidney damage from the back pressure.
Okay, and briefly, some less immediately critical, but still important conditions.
Right, like epididymitis, that's inflammation of the epididymis, the coiled tube behind the testicle, often infection-related, and orchitis, inflammation of the testicle itself, also usually from infection. And if you find a testicular mass, the key differentiator often is cancer usually presents as a painless, solid lump. Benign things like cysts or varicoceles are more common, often feel different.
Got it. So wrapping up, let's quickly recap the assessment tools for the listener. History taking.
Still rely on your fundamentals. The sample mnemonic is essential for getting that history. And for pain, especially sorting out that tricky referred pain, OPQRST is your go-to framework.
And physical assessment priorities.
Check for flank tenderness that points towards kidney issues, stones, or infection. Visually inspect the genitalia, especially if suspecting torsion or paraphimosis. Look for swelling, discoloration, and crucially, if there's any suspicion of kidney failure, AKI, get that ECG monitor on. Hyperkalemia risk is real and immediate. Monitor vitals closely every 5 minutes if unstable. Oh, and one last really practical point. Patients with urinary catheters. Standard precautions always. Avoid urine contact. During transport, never lift the drainage bag higher than the patient. You risk contaminated urine flowing back into the bladder. Huge infection risk. And make sure the tubing isn't kinked or getting pulled.
Good practical tip. So let's boil it down. What's the big takeaway here? The kidneys are central, right? Fluid, electrolytes, acid-base balance. Failure hits hard and fast, especially the heart.
Exactly. And that diagnostic challenge, the fact that abdominal pain can be misleading, means you always have to keep renal and genitourinary causes in mind. Don't get tunnel vision.
And maybe a final thought to leave our listeners with.
I think what's truly alarming and maybe underappreciated is just how fast things can go wrong. An electrolyte imbalance, especially potassium, which the kidneys normally handle perfectly, that imbalance can destabilize multiple organs, particularly the heart, almost in the blink of an eye. It shifts a patient from feeling unwell to being critically ill incredibly quickly. And it really underscores why, when you're faced with that severe pain from a stone or the distress of urinary retention, the guiding principle has to be, don't hesitate with pain control. Pain itself adds physiological stress the patient just doesn't need.
A really vital point. Manage the pain effectively. Well, thank you for walking us through this complex but critical area.
My pleasure. Hope it helps clarify things.
And thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.